gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1315. This is your host, Danny Pena. Once again, thank you everyone for listening to our podcast. This past year has been a lot of fun recording all this great content here for you guys. So we're planning to end the year strong with our Game of the Year episode, which is happening next month in December. So that's going to be the last episode. And from there, we're going to take a break until January 2024. So I'm excited for next year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of fun. So this one is going to be a short episode. Again, everybody knows that I'm taking a break for a couple months, but I already recorded a lot of content for the podcast, and we'll be back here. Well, I'm coming back in January with some new stuff. I'm going to be strong. Coming back here with brand new content. Can't wait. But in the meantime, just enjoy the episodes that is available now. And head over right now to GameAttackRadio.com, and you can listen to our past episodes. You could also subscribe or follow us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Game Attack Radio. We're there. And yeah, post your review, post your feedback, share the content to your friends, you know, via social, text, whatever you got to do, just show it to them and let them know about GTR. All right. So if you'd like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, here's how you could be part of the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so on this episode of GTR, we're going to do something a little different here, where a couple weeks back, I had John Manuel here, and we had a great conversation. For those who don't know, he is part of this group called Ramp that came out back in the 1970s or so, 1977, and a legendary group. And for those that love a game like Grand Theft Auto 4, the soundtrack, his song is actually there. It's a song called Daylight, and I know from the GTA community, a lot of people say it's one of their favorite tracks from the soundtrack of the whole game. So he's here. He was here at the house. Actually, he's my wife's dad. He's my father-in-law. And we were talking about how was it working on that track back in the 70s, and, you know, finding out that this was going to be on Grand Theft Auto. We had a great conversation about the history about that track, because a lot of hip hop artists also sample that track, and they did their own different versions and stuff. So, you know, like Tribe Called Quest, I know Mary J. Blige, Erykah Badu, Questlove. A lot of them worked with him. Also, Common. Just listen to the interview. It's a great interview. And this is something a little bit different, because I think it is important to have that conversation about behind the scenes of music. You know, working on that track back in the 70s, and then years, you know, decades later in a very popular game like Grand Theft Auto. So I hope you guys enjoy this special episode of this interview. And next week, I'm planning to have the top interviews that I've done on GTR, which I think a lot of you are going to like. For the past year, we had a lot of interviews, but that was a couple that stood out to me. I'm planning to play it on next week's episode of GTR. So we'll be back. And after that episode will be our final episode, which is the Game of the Year episode. So that's happening in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. All right, everyone. So enjoy this episode. And until next time, I'll see you next week. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome here at Gamer Tag Radio. And Rhee is in the background. Hello, Rhee.
Hello.
Yeah, she's in the background. But we have a special guest. And I think you should make your introduction because you're a legend in the music game. And I think it's very important for people to know
kind
about
of you.
So, John, you want to introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Yes, I'm John Manuel, drummer and leader of group Ramp. Haven't been produced by Roy Ayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to be here. It's great to see you this evening and look forward to having some great conversation.
And people don't know that that's Rihanna's dad. Yeah,
that,
John,
that was
yeah.
a free ticket. You know?
Yeah. Special episode.
Yeah.
So first of all, thank you for visiting us. The past couple of days have been great. Talking to you behind the scenes about music, industry, all that. So it's been good. It's been good.
Been cool, man.
And a lot of people are wondering, but why Danny has John on the podcast? I know we're gonna talk about it later on, but
right.
one of your songs is also featured in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But there's a history about that song. I want to talk about how you came up with the concept, recording that song, and I was reading in different Grand Theft Auto forums, message boards, where people are saying, oh man, that's like my favorite song in the soundtrack of the whole game. So that's pretty cool seeing that.
I hear that a lot. Yeah. I hear that a lot. Yeah.
But you bring it up, or you just like, people tell you, or you just find like this online?
I hear it. I see it online sometimes. And it was interesting. The other day, I was at a school.
Yeah.
And I heard some middle schoolers talking about GT4. And
GTA 4.
I said, what did you say? They said, GTA 4, man. I said, what do you know about GTA 4? They said, oh, it's cool. I know something about that, too. Oh, yeah? I said, yeah. I have a song on GTA 4.
That's cool.
What? You know? So I said, yeah, it's daylight. It's in the section called The Vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So they looked at me like, you're kidding me. I said, no, check it out. And let me know what you think about it. So
that's awesome.
I enjoy things like that. You know, I'm very excited to have had the opportunity to do that. I'm understanding that GTA 4 was it got a lot of attention. It still gets attention.
Mm-hmm.
So the feeling of having our premier song, the group Ramp, Daylight, appear there is very exciting.
Was that your first recording?
Yes, it was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Tell us a little about the recording of that
song.
I'm very curious about like how was the process of that and everything.
So. Yeah, well, it was great. We had an opportunity to perform on stage, opening up for Roy Ayers back in the day. And we were 2006, and we had a group. I had performed for the Spinners for a number of years, and I learned a lot, and I wanted to get involved in what I called sophisticated funk. Mm-hmm. You know, music that had a little bit more, not necessarily quality, but more pizzazz, a little bit more exciting. I liked listening to Phyllis Hyman, that awesome voice. Norman Connors, who was leading a number of artists who I felt they engaged in some of the smoothest and coolest music. I mean, I still listen to it today. And I said, I want to do that. I like that. I put a group together, guitar, the bassist, got a small unit. And long story short, I had two vocalists who were very exciting. They worked together, had good experience. And so I was able to lead a unit. And at the time, we called ourselves Saturday Night Special. Also associated with Norman Connors. But we did this performance before Roy, and we were careful not to do any of his material, but we did material that was in that genre. Apparently, he took note because he came up to me after the show and said, can I speak to you? I said, sure. You know, he's a star. So man... I like your sound. I like what you guys are doing. I like what I heard. He said, can we talk? Can we talk seriously? I said, sure. So ultimately, he invited me to New York said, I'm going to send you a ticket. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, this is Roy Ayers talking to me about coming to New York. Mm-hmm. But he was serious. And I did. He sent me a ticket. I flew there. He picked me up in a limo. We drove straight to not only a studio, but we went to Jimi Hendrix.
Legendary studio. Legendary.
Oh, man. The first purple, I say. Mm-hmm. Everything was purple in there. Electric Ladyland studio in the village. And it's just he and I. And went in and went into a studio. And I walked over to the drums. And he said, sit down, play. And I sat down at the drums, and he sat down at a Fender Rhodes. Now, Roy is a vibraphonist. That's the key, the core of his sound. But he sat down at the Rhodes, and it was beautiful, man. And he was just playing. And I played with that, is enjoying it, just, you know, keyboards and drums. What we did ultimately became the song Daylight. Again, from that moment, to ultimately bringing my other members into the studio. We recorded during the winter of 76, and we found ourselves in a contract opportunity with ABC Blue Thumb Records. And they had Roy involved as a production company person. We signed a deal. We were on a label with the Pointer Sisters and the Jazz Crusaders. And things were, I mean, really exciting. We thought it was going to be just hot. It's like, man, we're on a good label. We've got a good producer. We had additional music. We set up songs were going to be in an album called Come Into Knowledge. And we did a song called Come Into Knowledge. It's a title track. We had 8 other songs, and it was released. However, the president of the company and the vice president that set our deal up were released from the company. They brought in a new president, Steve Diener from Germany. He didn't like our project. And he told Roy, well, we're not going to promote this, Roy.
Oh, and so there was no promotion.
There was no promotion of the album, yeah. And which is like incredible. We had Edwin Birdsong involved. You know, Birdsong had done Coca-Cola Baby, something that... a lot of artists were involved in or were very interested in Birdsong's work. And then William Allen also contributed in the production of it. So we had a great time, but we're very saddened at word that this wasn't going to be promoted. So our hearts were down, were low until that inimitable Tribe Called Quest.
Rocko Quest, I think it was, what was the name of that song? It was from their first...
Bonita Applebaum.
Yeah, first album. Bonita.
Yeah, Bonita Applebaum. Bonita, so, you got to put me on.
So you're trying to say that the album got released, it was a flop back in the
released
days,
and no promotion.
But years later, it became a hit where now you, Grand Theft Auto, you see a lot of music artists, they're sampling... not only from Daylight, but Sunshine, I believe it's like the...
Everybody Loves the Sunshine.
Yeah, that's right. The one where people have been, a lot of artists, well-known artists have been sampling or doing something similar to that track.
Exactly.
So years later, it got really, really popular, and it's known as like a legendary cult following of that album. Like everybody loves
it. Man. Yeah, Mary J. Blige jumped on the scene, and she recorded Take a Look at My Life, You'll See What I See.
So, I mean, you heard, okay, the these artists... contact you directly to tell you, hey, we're gonna, or it was something, because back in the days, in the early days of hip hop, you know, a lot of people didn't have money to, you know, for sample clearance and all that stuff. So they were like, find a record at a shop, they'll create a beat, and it becomes a hit, and then the artist will find out, wait a minute, that's my track. You know, right. Years later, if it becomes a hit. So was it something like that, similar to you, or? Well, that happened to you back then?
I didn't have direct contact with the artists who were performing the music, but I would either hear it or someone would tell me, or Roy and I might have a conversation about it. And so he was saying, well, John, hold on, you know, don't fret, because it could take years for a record to hit. Something could happen. So just hold on. He said, we're going to do all we can do. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it was very... shelved until Tribe Called Quest did Bonita Applebaum. And then Mary J. Blige did what she did. And Will Smith's son, Jaden Smith, sampled us for a third of our songs. Use a lot of my drum tracks.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, I could hear my licks in there.
You're like, all right, you missed something there.
I would say, hey, Will, hey, man, can we talk? So,
Which, for people don't know, he's also in, Jaden did a song for Miles Morales' Spider-Man game that came out for the PlayStation 4 and 5. Right, Ree? Yes, give me the thumbs up. So, yeah. But that's cool. So, when was it that you heard about the song being in Grand Theft Auto, let's just say? Like, was that something where you just word of mouth or the label or Roy? Or who was it that contacted you about that?
It wasn't the label. I heard Roy actually make a mention of it because he was excited. And again, always saying, hey, hold on, don't give up. Hope that something can hit on this. He said it could take years. But I checked it out myself and said, man, it was true. It's like not only were we on it, it said that we were featured in that section called The Vibe.
State radio station.
The radio station,
So, and I love Grand Theft Auto 4, by the way. That's a good, pretty good game. Yeah, you know what I used to do, especially when I play there's multiple Grand Theft Auto games I'll play, and just listen to the radio station because I'm just curious about the soundtrack. So hearing that, because I remember listening to that track on The Vibe, I'll stop in the middle of nowhere inside the car, and I just let it play there. And I know a lot of people would do that all the time. Playing that game, so that's cool. So what about Sunshine? That's another big track.
Yes,
that is also iconic in the hip hop industry and everything. So tell us a little about that.
I had a lot of people calling me, telling me, "Hey, man, I'm digging this. I heard this. I like Roy's version, but hearing this, of course, Roy produced that."
That one came out first, his version?
Yes, his version came out first. His version came out a year before ours did.
Okay, okay.
His was in 76.
Okay.
Actually. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it, but man, the version we did was, it was slower, it was more mellow, sophisticated, you know, I like that vibe. And so, I heard a lot of people saying that, you know, when you compare the two, ours really got more oomph from people. I said, man, I'm really digging this track. Mm-hmm. I talked to DJs and other musicians. Mm-hmm. So it was encouraging. Again, everything was good because it was all Roy's work. And he liked it too. You know, we did a good job with that. And he was excited. So we just kept hoping that something was going to flow. You know, we had some good songs out there. I mean, that's three pretty hot tracks, you know, Mary J. Blige in it and redoing his own hit record. And now Everybody Loves the Sunshine is really one of the most renowned songs that people think about when they think about Roy Ayers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a comparably valued version of it. So we're pretty excited. And we wound up on a jazz label. We're currently on Verve with George Benson. And we're excited about having been invited to return to performing after things didn't flow. I'd gotten a call from London's Jazz Cafe that said, hey, I hear you guys are back. We want to welcome you to do your reunion, return to performing here in London. So we did that. And then we had other, you know, unique performances in New York Central Park and had a few tour dates and all. So we're excited to have been involved in that project, and it's still rolling. And we even had two additional tracks that didn't make the Coming to Knowledge album. And we are hoping that something can come of those. That's The Old One, Too, another remake of one of Roy's songs. And then Paint Me Any Color that we've released through Ubiquity Records. So, man, you got to hear them, man. That's stuff.
I heard one of them. It's pretty cool. It's crazy that you created something in 1976.
Yes.
And it took a long time to, maybe 90s? In the 90s, that's when everything blew up, right? Early 90s, late 80s?
Exactly. 89, 90, when Trap did
Bonita. Yeah, from their first album. And then right. Now you hear other artists, Erykah Badu, Common.
Yes, Erykah did Our American Promise.
Yeah.
You know, I've met her, interacted with her, mm-hmm. and we talked about it. Roy had called me one day and said, hey, I got to tell you, Erykah wants to work with you guys. And she says you're one of her favorite groups. No, he said, you are her favorite group. And mm-hmm. she wants to record with you and with the ladies. And ultimately, she was given the masters for that song and did it, released it. She and I've talked about it. She, you know, got in touch. And then we met and chatted. I met her and her brother, and we just were really happy to see and talk about these artists. These awesome artists that were doing our material. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, we did something right.
So the album is not a flop.
No, not at all. Flop.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time to blow up because there's people that I think one of my friends were here visiting and I was telling him about your group. I'm like, oh, have you heard this track? And he's like, let me hear it. And I played it. I can't remember which one it was. It was from the album.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I heard. So a lot of people have heard the track. It's not all tracks.
Right.
So it's not like a total flop. It's just
it wasn't promoted in its day, but since then, you know, it's people pay good money for it.
Oh, the vinyls is expensive and hard to find. Let me tell you, very hard to find.
Yeah, but people really enjoy that, and we get a lot of support from it. So
yeah, cool. And anything else? I mean, how excited are you that there's gamers that now listening to your songs and games and this might not be the only time we might see another one in the future where maybe another track will end up in a future Grand Theft Auto game or another game. You never know.
Yes. So. Let me say there's some more good tracks on there.
Yeah, so right.
Listen to the album.
And you people can listen to it on Spotify. I know it's on Apple Music. There's another places if you can't find the physical version, but you can find it. This major streaming services, you can find it out there. So, but go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, just it's very refreshing to have been involved with music. They say good music never dies, you know. And Roy would always say that jazz never dies. Mm-hmm. He says it could take a while for something to hit or turn over, but just hang in. So we're very fortunate to have not only had a good album with a good producer, but music that is very much still valued, still appreciated. It's said to be timeless, and man, that's quite an honor. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to having other people check it out. Let us know how, you know, you like it. Please feel free. And we look forward to doing more music as well.
Yeah. Hey, John, it's been an honor having you on, you know.
Man, I appreciate the opportunity.
I always wanted to do this. I got to talk to John. We got, you know, in person. Yeah. But I'm glad I had you on the podcast to just talk about the history of the tracks. And because I think it is important, especially nowadays, people will like a track, but they don't know the story behind it. Like how
I
got recorded, where, Legendary Studio in New York City, you know. So like,
yeah, man,
it's a lot of cool stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're honored to have people like Common and Pharrell, Q-Tip, all of a Trap Called Quest, and Mary J. Blige and Jaden Smith, mm-hmm. and all those others out there. Mm-hmm. Like, check it out. Coming to knowledge.
And again, Spotify, right?
Spotify.
Apple Music, YouTube. It's
Apple
everywhere.
Apple Music, YouTube is everywhere.
Amazon Music. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks for the opportunity.
No, it was much fun. A lot of fun.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.